Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and today I have a great guest on. She is an author, but she's a lot more than that, so we're going to bring her on right away. Her name is Tricia Kelly. So, hi, Tricia. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Nancy. Thank you so much for having me today.
Now, Tricia, you wrote a book called Spirit Boy, and then there's like a little thing that says an Earth Spy. But before we really talk about your book, I'd really like to talk a little bit about you, Tricia, and who you are and what prompted you to write the book, and then we'll go into the book.
Okay. Well, I was sort of guided, I think, towards writing this book as it was implanted as an idea back in 1986, and it was during the time when I first met a gentleman by the name of William Raynon, who channeled Dr. Peebles. And it just was a fascination for me getting to speak with Dr. Peebles over the many, many years that I did. And it was during that time that it was born as an idea that I was going to write this story about a little boy who guided other children on learning spiritual principles. And then in 1992... I got into screenplay writing a few years beforehand, and this was bugging me to write as a screenplay, so I wrote it. And, of course, not a lot of people knew about the law of attraction back then. And it kind of like just sort of sat around on a shelf, and I kept thinking, well, I'll wait till everybody catches up and to what this screenplay is really about. And then I decided to turn it into a novel. 2 years ago, I started working on it because it would just sort of came like that's where it should be first, and then go back into the film to become a movie. That's how I would like to see it, you know, evolve. And during that time, I just was dwelling into many realms of spirituality and, you know, what's it all about, and I'm trying to understand a lot of different things and put a lot of different experiences that I was personally having myself with energy into perspective. And that's my journey, pretty much, the book.
Tricia, do you think that today's children are really highly evolved and we're trying to catch up with them rather than them trying to catch up with us?
I think it's an unfolding of both, because I think the parent that has the child that is born like a little bit more of like what we would call maybe the indigo or the crystal children, come to parents that are able to maybe possibly guide them a little bit, you know, until the system catches up that these are, you know, our future children are going to have these gifts that we've sort of suppressed over time or centuries or thousands of years that will just come more naturally to them. And I think, so the first, I think it's always a combination of both. I don't think you can really single one being either way. Do you see that as well?
Oh yeah, I really do. The other thing is, and people who know me know I say this at least once during the program if it's about kids, because I have this hard time with the kids being on all those prescription drugs when I really think that these children are picking up a lot of, you know, of their intuition and not quite know what to do with it. And the schools, I don't think, are necessarily helping that child or those children, you know, kind of be who they are or help them to figure that out better. And I think the children themselves are having a really hard time focusing in school. So do you think that might be possible too?
You know, there's a lot of different equations that come into that, because when we were, I'm in my 50s, so, you know, I'm fine with that too, but when we were children, or I was, we weren't exposed to the amount of, information and which comes in collective energy. You know, we weren't like thrown in front of the TV and live shows and things like that where we're bombarded with this energy all the time. And I think a lot of these children don't realize how much frequency they're picking up from other people. And I think their own electrical system just gets out of whack with not being understood and not understanding what they're picking up that's not really theirs as well. So there's the emotional aspect that comes into the child of just being, you know, highly sensitive and just becoming this sponge for this, you know, this darkness and TV shows and you know, this stuff that's just thrown at them 24/7. And so I think that has a lot to do with kids. I definitely think there's always a way around it without the drugs, but I don't condemn the drugs. If the drugs work and that's the route that the parent seeks as being the one that helps the child in a positive way, mm-hmm. but just to, like, throw the drugs at the kid as the last measure of, like, you know, everybody's out of whack. You know, the parents are out of whack, the kid's out of whack, the system's out of whack, school's out of whack. You know, there's no way for the kid to come up for air. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I agree. You know, like, I'm not against the prescription drugs. I'm only against them using them at first rather
right.
than trying, you know, different alternatives, which there are many. And a lot of the parents aren't being told about them. They're just saying, okay, your child has blah, 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 blah. This is what they need to take. And then because the parents are so frazzled.
I think it's really sad to give anybody a label because they, I mean, to give a label a child of, you know, oh, boy, you're AD or you're this mm-hmm. now or you're that now, I mean, that's a label that carries through for the rest of their lives, that they've been placed in this category. I mean, I think it's much nicer to say, hey, you're an indigo or you're a crystal or something a little bit more flavorful, you know, that's a little mm-hmm. bit more exciting, just for the child's own self-esteem. I think parents, I mean, many years ago, my kid was at school and all the parents were running off having their kids tested to see if they were in the gifted program because the school suddenly had this gifted program.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, oh, no, I don't want to do that because if she doesn't get into the program, she will be more hurt by not being in it, by, you know, the setup of, you know, being in this group. It came about, we got a letter from the school system about 2 years later that they recognized that she was in this gifted program automatically. And I've never forced things on this child. I just let her evolve. And education comes really easy to her. Because I'm not that control pressure person where a lot of the education system doesn't suit the children. There's no, I mean, there's so little joy in the 8 hours that they sit in the classroom.
There's no joy at all. You know, and I agree with you, Tricia. You know, that's why I'm trying to put together a different system. And I noticed when I was reading, you know, some of your stuff on your website, that one of the high school teachers that you had talked to, you know, makes the same statement that I've been making for a long time, that the education system is failing our children, not that they're failing the system.
Right.
And, you know, so I find that very interesting because for a very long time I have, you know, watched what's going on and I use my granddaughter as, you know, as a way of kind of determining why I believe the system is failing rather than the kids doing the failing. And so I agree that there are many, many kids, and they all are very gifted, all in different ways.
All in different ways, yeah. Well, there's not a person on the planet that's not gifted. I mean, we all have our gifts. It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, how much you want to nurture those gifts and bring them out and enjoy them. But in the school system, there's very, very little of that, and there's also not a lot of emphasis on kindness, you know, and the teacher-student respect of, which is one of the things that I brought up in my book, was that because you came to the planet first as an elderly person compared with these children, your journey's not more valuable than the journey of the little child. And this is what happens in the system is that the teachers have this persona that they're so much better than the little people that they're teaching. They don't mean to,
mm-hmm.
but they do.
Right.
And so they degrade the children very easily, you know, just by having that separation of not what the child brings to the table and what they offer, but it's what the teachers offer and that's it. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sort of balance out, and I think that's one of the really important lessons that any parent can learn is everybody's soul has a journey, and it has nothing to do with who came first.
That's very true. Now let's talk a little bit about Spirit Boy. Now we don't want to give away the whole story because we actually want people to get your book. So before we talk about it, Tricia, would you please tell the listeners how they can find your book and
the best,
you know. Go ahead.
The best place to find it right now is at my website, trishakelly.net, and that's spelled TRICIAKELLY.net, and it is the net. So I have them there, and I can supply them to the readers. It was a wonderful story writing. It's one of those stories that just keep nudging me to write, and when I wrote it, it just sort of, I actually had to put it down a few times when I was writing it because I wasn't living the principles that I was writing. I was sort of felt a little hypocritical at times because I was learning as I was writing as well, both in the screenplay and the novel. But it was really a great joy. And during meditation, one time I did see the two boys. They appeared. And it was kind of like, wow, those are them. And so I know it's a very channeled story, if you want to use those words.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a very, very good book because it talks a lot about really what children are going through and how they're really not, you know, they're not looked at as they should be, like you're saying in the book. It also has to do with a lot of the law of attraction that people are so, you know, getting to know so much about these days. But you have a lot of good information in there that comes through for children to read the book, too. So, you know, it's not just a book for adults.
No, it's actually, it was my main target was really the you know, young reader, teen market, and parents as well and teachers. I mean, I really wanted it to be a cross market, but it was written for children to, as you said, to understand. And as one of my parents has already written on is about the book, was you learn so much from reading it in this fictional story than just reading a how-to book, because kids don't read how-to books. It's like, oh goodness, another school book I have to how to learn. And so this is such a great, colorful story, and it's very street, and it's very real. Emotionally, you get involved with the characters, and you also, you know, just love Spirit Boy and his energy and the way these children unfold in the tale of their drama and the family drama.
Now, Spirit Boy, the reason why you call him Spirit Boy is because he's actually a spirit.
Right.
Okay, so the title just isn't, you know, just it's actually talking about a spirit that helps other children to kind of learn their journeys too. Plus,
well, I should tell the audience that it's about a little boy who died on a playground, and when he sees his two kids in the headed for trouble like he was, and the same negative energy that he used to be, he decides to sort of in his way befriend them. And so he started conversations with them, and he basically has been guiding them and also whispers a lot of things in their ears and gives them little goosebumps. And they have their own revelation as the story progresses. They start to, you know, bring in their own energy, that they see how they're manifesting things just by being in the, what he calls the zone, just staying in the right zone. You don't have to pick up other people's stuff. You know, just be yourself and be in the zone. And so it's got a lot of great things. It's hard to separate which part is, you know, how it works.
Yeah, they're really, because when I was reading it, I'm going, it flows very smooth, and, you know, it really talks about a lot of the things I believe that children really are going through. They just don't realize they're going through it. So for them to read a book like this would help them to understand, Tricia, that they really are not truly different, but everybody has their own uniqueness about them.
Right. And it's, you see, there's so much judgment out there in the world, and that's the one thing that Spirit Boy does, is he teaches them not to be judgmental of other people and how they choose or what they choose to find their path to their God. So it's not in any way puts down any other religion or, you know, who you choose to be, whether you want to be someone from a different domination that reads the book, you know, it would appeal to you. It's universal language. It's not in any way some sort of doctrine and, you know, that this is this way and this should be this way and that's it. Because I went through that as a child myself. I mean, I had a neighbor that was a Catholic, and boy, I spent half my childhood thinking I was going to hell because I wasn't baptized. I mean, it was ridiculous to think, you know, children walk around with those chips on their shoulders because they're not being told they have to be this way or else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's unfortunate, but a lot of children are like that. You know, they get implanted with these concepts that they don't really understand, and they start to take on this role, and they start to actually hate another nationality or another religious, you know, well, whatever their references in their family that brings them that solitude, because everybody seeks it. You know, there's not a person on the planet that doesn't seek some sort of spiritual values. That's why there's, you know, thousands of religions, because people seek it. But you can't discriminate that yours is better than another. That's the secret.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think love is really the answer for all of it.
And oh, love is, yeah.
And somehow I think the people, you know, who are going through all of the stuff that the world is going through right now, somehow kind of has forgotten really how important love is, not just for love of others, but also love of themselves. And I think people are having a very hard time with that, you know, and I don't know if they know how to accept it. I mean, because I, you know, I counsel a lot of people, and one of the things I always tell them, Trisha, is you have to learn to like yourself, love yourself, because if you're not going to do that, who is going to do it for you?
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, the love vibration comes from your heart. It's always been associated with your heart. You have broken hearts, you know, pictures, you know, you feel emotion, you feel it in your heart. Well, your heart pulsates an energy that is, you know, in quantum physics, you know, they're finding now it's 5,000 times stronger than your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just says a lot right there. That's the energy that comes from your heart. And smiles come from your heart. You know, when you naturally catch yourself, like, finding that person that just radiates that smile at you, they haven't thought to their brain, well, I think I'll smile now. It comes from that heart center.
Mm-hmm.
That love center. It just goes, doing. And people are afraid to smile. You know, they don't smile freely. And children today are even more frozen on smiling, because we're bombarded with this, everybody in the world is a stranger danger out to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I've noticed that this generation is really cut off from just the general helping, or, you know, just smiling at someone, or would you like that, or can I open the door for you, or, you know, they've been shut down by their parents and the TVs and all of the crime shows and everything that portray that is happening all over the world, and really it's just the percentage of it happening is so minute that you would even, like, can't even see it on a scale. But that's what they live by. And,
yeah.
And it's, you know, that to me is we've done a lot of damage to this next generation, because this one that's growing up, they're very shut off, I find.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice it around. I mean, you notice a little child in the market, you stand next to them, and most men now don't smile at any kids at all. It's sort of almost like, you know, that they're going to be, like, taken away in a wagon or something for looking at that kid, or that kid is going to get, like, mixed signals. And the unfortunate thing is that when a child is so naturally drawn to intuitiveness of who feels right and who doesn't, I mean, they pick up those vibrational energy waves instinctively, and so they really don't need to be taught who's right or wrong for them, because it's already there. Like, a baby will look at you and giggle and laugh, look at another person and cry like crazy, and that's the way that they're interpreting the waves coming at them. And it's the same as dogs or animals. You can walk up to one and, you know, wag its tail, and another will growl like crazy at somebody. And
yeah, Go ahead.
Yeah, so you see it like this with children, and it's not something that, I'm not saying to every parent, you know, I feel for everybody that's ever been involved in a situation with an adult, you know, taking advantage of a child, but they are the, you know, we can call them the scum of the earth, and there's not a lot of people that vibrate on the scum of the earth energy, so there's really, they're not that as distinctive as the world's making out or America makes out. And they are there, but there are other ways of teaching a child to be highly intuitive so that they naturally will pick that up. And, you know, I tell you a story, Nancy. I picked up my daughter once, and she got in and she rang me and said, can you come and get me? And I said, yeah. You know, and it kind of means, like, wherever I am, I don't want to be here. And, you know, that's, I know that's, like, get me away from this energy. And so I went and picked her up, and I said, what's wrong? She said, oh, the parents are fighting like crazy in there, and everybody's yelling and da-da-da. And I pat her on the back, and she said, what? And I said, honey, I'm so proud of you. You're listening to that inner voice that says, this doesn't feel like where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this same inner voice, Amber, is going to be the voice that comes up and says, no, I don't want to have sex with you because you don't feel like the right person, or no, I don't want to do drugs because everybody's doing them. Or it's that's so what I tell parents myself is, compliment them when they make a decision that feels right for them, because the more you do, the more you're enforcing that intuition in them that they know what feels right. And that's a little ingredient that's missing a lot with parents and children communication.
I think people today really, like you're saying, Tricia, have a very hard time communicating. You know, everybody's under so much stress, so much worry, and, you know, all they hear all day long on the media, the television, everything, how bad, how bad, how bad, how bad. And as people continue to hear that, you know, and it's like plastered into, you know, their energy field, they come across as being so unhappy, and then the children are there, and the children are picking up their emotions of all the bad things that probably went on for them during the parents had to go through during the day, and the children pick it all up, and then the children really don't know what to do with the energy, and so again, they get themselves in trouble because, you know, they're either not saying anything, or they're saying too much, or they don't appear like they're paying attention. But it really is important that the children understand that they do get to make a choice, like your daughter made. That was a great choice, and that was good what you did for her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, I just write, I've been starting writing a lot of blogs on my site, and I'm putting together an e-book right now that will be out very soon in the new year. And it's called, Is Your Kid Vibrating on the Right Frequency? And it's probably about 12 different chapters that I go into, but a lot of what it is just really throwing this banner in at the whole system, because people are going to say, oh my goodness, I never thought of it like that. Because when you're sending your kid out there into the world, especially as a teen, I mean, they're out there in their own world, and you want to make sure as a parent they're vibrating on the right frequency, because there's nothing they can do but have fun. And if you're sending them out there with all of the scars of negativity that you've been putting on them, and they're going out there with doubts and, you know, major fights before they leave the house, or a lot of little things that you do to them, they're walking out there and walking straight into that same vibration. And one of the things that I wrote recently in a blog was the D's are degrading. I don't know if you read that one. And it's, you know, when kids come home with a D from school for anything, well, you know, it's very rare that they haven't tried, or it's maybe that they've skipped, or there's the occasional thing they didn't do their homework, or, you know, there are things, the reasons why, but if they're coming because they don't get it, or they did badly on a test, I mean, if you've yelled at them before they walked into school to have a test, you know, of course they're going to have an effect in that test. Well, I mean, that's just one example, but so they come home with their D, and they're already so degraded by having that, and then the first thing they get is detention, and then they have everything that they enjoy in their life taken away from them. So you've just really dug the ditch even bigger. So now the kid's really down there and depressed. And so, you know, you've got to actually bring their energy back up as quick. So if they're walking in with a D, you want to actually bring their energy up to a higher vibration really quickly. By, you know, do you want to make cookies with me or something that's more exciting? Or, you know, it's okay, honey, I know that, you know, next time you'll do better, and I know it's in you, or, you know, it's, and just kind of let it go in a sense. They come back into balance, and I call B is for balance. And when kids are getting A's, it's because the parents have admiration for the child, and they sort of admire them and what they do, and they just advance. Do you see there's no struggle in it?
Right.
And a lot of the struggle that comes from the D's is from being depressed and, you know, demoralizing them or degrading them again. And so the scoring system doesn't work in schools anyway.
No,
as far as I'm concerned,
it does. But the whole school system really needs a revamp.
Right.
Let me tell you.
But can you? Now, I mean, most parents will be sitting there saying, "What do you mean you don't give her a detention? You know, like she's not punished."
Yeah.
And well, she's already punished walking in the door with a D on her report. She's already been punished, and so you can't. If you keep bashing the kid up when they're like that, they don't really get out of it. They just get actually more down. So you nurture those moments. And there's another one of my chapters is outbursts of energy are fantastic. And we suppress those, you know, right from little children. Like, don't do that, you know, stop stamping your foot, you don't want it. Boy, I tell you what, when your kid hits 13 and someone's offering them drugs, you want them to be stamping their foot saying, "I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it."
Mm-hmm.
But, so there's a balance. You can't, you know, like have one without the other. You've got to actually understand why they're stamping their foot and why they don't want it. And that's okay. Okay, then don't, you know, we won't have it. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the control issue of the parent comes in as like what I was saying, I came here first, I know best, boom. It's a different journey.
Yeah, my granddaughter, she's a riot. She's 8 going on 30, I tell everybody.
Right.
But she's so much fun. She has so much energy. And yes, sometimes she's really hard to deal with, but I really wouldn't have her any other way, knowing what she's got to finish completing, you know, during her journey here. And so, you know, do I make her behave? Sure, but do I play games with her, tell her stories? Without a doubt. And then I turn around and I say, "No, it's your turn, tell me a story." And she comes up with some of the best stories ever.
They do. Because they, you see, you're the ears that they want, you know, someone to listen to. You're there for them to listen. And they have their own way out concepts. And that's the wonderful thing about kids, that they just have their own magic about how they see the world. And it's wonderful. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And I think we really need to take time and listen to them. You also talk about, you know, again, with the age of Aquarius, the children that are here and that are still yet to come. Do you find, Tricia, when you're talking to other people, that they understand maybe what the age of Aquarius is all about, or do they kind of, you know, look at you like, "What are you talking about?"
I would say probably a little of both, only because the song "The Age of Aquarius" was such a big song, you know, from the Hair show. So most of our generation already knows what that saying means. And it's interesting too when you get back to talking to parents, or you're talking to like kids. I was telling them the other day, it was amazing how music has a great influence on people and things like that. I said, when you look back on the 60s and the music, I was talking to my daughter and her friends about music, I said, the songs that came out of the 60s will be around forever because they came out of this vibration of love, and their love vibration came from the opposite, which was the wars.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you look back on the Second World War, all of the music that came out of the jives and everything after the Second World War was huge. I mean, they're still around today. And so, there's, you know, when I say about the Aquarian age, there's different age groups or times in astrology where people vibrate on the same frequency. You know, like what I'm saying about the 60s. You know, everybody was so into the love realm that it just exploded because they were so suppressed with the war realm. So it kind of like was the opposite. Am I making sense here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so now with this Aquarian age, it's like there is a generation of people, or the movement has going into this spiritual realm, and people like yourself, you know, the intuitives are just coming out, and you know, we're just appearing in truckloads now. And I mean, we need, you know, millions of truckloads, but we're appearing even more and more. And people are sort of slowly coming to it. That's why they talk about The Secret being so successful. I mean, it was only successful because everybody was craving something like this. So we gravitated to it. You know, people that were the unknowns of this world just gravitated to it because it just made sense to those, you know, where they were stuck in that time where nothing else made sense. And suddenly you're going, oh, wow, that's an interesting concept. It kind of makes sense. But then they kind of put it slightly on the back burner as well. What I say is because they don't really know the whole secret. They were just sort of like, they saw the trailer, but they haven't seen the real movie, which isn't out yet, which is like on the spiritual level of, you know, the concept of the 2012 and the changes in the planet and things like that. I mean, that's going to be the real, real secret. And so that's coming into, like, the age of Aquarius, that the new 2,000 years of change, you know, we're here. Mm-hmm. We're at the, you know, the door.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your idea of 2012, Tricia?
2012?
What you might think. See, my guides have always told me 2010, but 2012 is going to be, you know, a pretty interesting time.
Well, I think, you know, it's like the Aquarian age. I mean, some people said it started at the year 2000, just before, just after. I mean, it's so close to where it is. It's sort of almost like we're on the cusp of the whole thing moving the axis. So you're seeing it or hearing it of it being, you know, coming more into focus in 10 and 2012. So I think 2012 will be when it's really, really in focus. I mean, it's interesting just even looking at politics right now. I mean, everybody in the whole planet was ready for change. I mean, you know, Obama might be, like, taking the credit for saying, you know, he's about the change, but he's just reflecting everybody that wants change because we all know that change is coming, and the change that's coming is the 2012 as well because we're all sensing it on a higher level. And I think I'm not quite sure how it will come about, whether it will. It's already in motion, I think, now. I think that's why the financial structure is going through these major changes of reevaluating what's important and what's not important. And I think we've sort of got caught up in that, a lot of trivia that wasn't ever important in the finances that we've been, you know, dwelling in.
I think so too, Tricia. I think people really need to kind of turn off their radios for a little bit or their televisions for a little bit and just kind of breathe, relax, and, you know, see what really is going on, what they feel, how they feel, not what they're being told how they're supposed to feel.
You know what's really interesting I found is that, you know, this gas prices that went skyrocketing up to $5 and everything, and every news program was about the gas prices every day, you know. And everybody was worried. You'd pull up your gas, and the guy next to you would look at you and go, oh, my God, can you believe it? You know, look at these prices. And then all of a sudden the news changes, you know. Suddenly I think Sarah Palin came into the picture around that time and, you know, all the elections. And the gas wasn't really focused on, and boom. Within a few months, it was way down. I mean, I know, and some people say, well, that had nothing to do with it, but in the real picture, it had a lot to do with it because people weren't focused on it anymore. They put the problem into some other area.
And I think
coming about, too.
And I think that's not true.
Yeah, and it's the same with all of this... This housing market, I mean, the only reason it went crazy to start with was because there was so much focus on, you know, there's never going to be enough houses around for everybody to live in. And now they're kicking everybody out and they're all sitting there empty. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And as I had mentioned to you once before, I mean, it's like your home is your temple. And that's why you get a home. You know, people should have a home and always think of it in that sense. Doesn't matter if it's big, small, a mud, you know, hut or wherever. It's your temple. I don't think homes are ever meant to be like spitted out and turned over and flipped and flipped and flipped to the point that they became so expensive that nobody could even buy them anymore. You know, the temples all just became too expensive for anybody to actually live in. And so I think the reality of it coming back into focus now and becoming balanced again will allow everybody to actually end up in a temple again in a roundabout way. But I always look at things completely different, Nancy. If you
You're looking at them like I look at them.
Yeah.
So, you know, there has to be more than just you and myself out there who are looking at it like this. It's just that we've got to get the word out there so people who are not looking can start to open their eyes. And like I said, basically breathe. It's like they're not even breathing. They're just there.
You know, you only need to have a small shift to make a big change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that really people, you go, okay, it's changing. It is shifting and it is changing. And it's all good. I mean, to some people that are caught up in it, they may not see it like that, but then they've been, you know, haven't been really living that balanced life to start with, so that they're really out of keel now. But they'll come back into balance. You know, they just need to find their balance again. And it will come about.
It's, you know, just a little slow.
yeah. It'll be interesting to see actually what's going to happen. I'm actually really excited. I actually don't feel, because I don't also get into the collective energy. I really learned that from a couple of great channels, one that you've interviewed before, which is the Christina Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a lot of what her channel information is about. And she talks a lot about, you know, giving back collective consciousness. And one thing I didn't realize was that, and she talked about, is watching live television when it's a live show,
mm-hmm.
that you're collectively in with that group of energy watching that show. So if you're watching a show, you know, even if it's, you know, an Oprah show, and it's a depressing show, which mm-hmm. there are a lot of them on there, and or, you know, different elements that she'll have, everybody's sitting in the room with that collective energy. You're sensing that, but you don't realize that you're actually tuned into the other 10 million people energetically as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you now have picked up 10 million depressed energetic energies that you didn't need to pick up.
No.
That you can still watch your show and enjoy it by actually surrounding yourself with light and what they call the bubble of light, so that this energy doesn't penetrate you. You can turn it off and you're not carrying it around. You're not walking around for the next 3 days with a shadow over you and you don't know why. And the shadow is because you picked up 10 million people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you became that same stream. And this is the secret to the law of attraction, is that people all want to sit there and go, oh, I have my memory board and I put my pictures up there and I'm manifesting them and things like that. Well, that's true. It all does work. But if that works, then you have to look at the big picture and say, well, wait a minute, but I'm also doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that little thing works, then this big thing over here is working big time. And that's why collective energy is really important for everybody going into the next few years with this thing like this financial crisis that we're supposedly in, is to not buy into the collective energy that you are part of it, you know, or, you know, any other misery that's happening on the planet. You don't have to buy into that. You can observe it, but you don't have to become that energy.
Yeah, I have a new saying that I tell people. And the saying is, if you keep your head buried in the sand long enough, you're really going to get your butt kicked hard. Because it's the only thing that's up there, you know. And people constantly do that. You know, they bury themselves in whatever they're hearing, and it's like they get stuck in that, just like what you're talking about, Tricia, and it's like they don't want to get out of it, or they don't know how to get out of it. And easy, like you said, if you just put that white light, that bubble around you, you don't get in it to begin with. And I think people really need to concentrate on that and learn that for themselves, because until they learn that, they're going to keep being pulled in. You know, so when your book about Spirit Boy and you're talking about, you know, the teens and how they need to be who they are and not get pulled into this everyday humdrum life that people have appeared to create for themselves in a negative way. You know, so again, Spirit Boy, you know, not only is it for kids, but it really is for the parents and everybody to really take a good look at it and really read it. It's got a lot of good, good information in it. And it doesn't take long to read because it's not like the book is, you know, 3 inches thick. It isn't like that. But it's a very good book.
It's a good page turner, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story.
It is.
You want to find out what's going on. You know, another way of really, this is a really interesting way for people to explain collective consciousness to people, and it was explained to me a long time ago, was that if you don't like, say, basketball, but, you know, you go to a basketball game and you're sitting with the fans and you're an observer and you're enjoying it, you're an observer, you're just an observer of that energy. And then, you know, but if you went back again and again, a couple of times more, you then are there because you become the collective energy. And so you're not watching it as an observer anymore. You're watching it from that collective point of view. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gone back again.
Mm-hmm.
And collective energy has blossoms in many different ways, you know, like with what I talk about with idle gossip, or, you know, you have a, like the kids at school that are having a fight and 15 kids are, you know, standing around saying, yeah, get them, whatever, take them down. They're just as much of part of the fight just by being in that collective energy than the two people that are punching.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, you know, they don't see themselves in that situation, you see. They don't see that, you know, the hippies were a collective energy, you know, the Nazis were a collective energy, you know, the Jewish people are a collective energy, and, you know, how they hold themselves together, and from the past too, there are so many people that are hold onto these collective energies that don't belong to them. They're their parents' past and their grandparents' past that are handed down through generations, that you have to kind of like learn that, well, you know, that's not me. That's not who I am. That's them and those people. And I'm just going to be my own person and keep coming back to being your own person all the time. It's really important to not get caught up in the group, just to come back to being your own person.
Yeah,
and I think that's the best advice I can give anybody.
It is. You know, being your own person is very important. And until people learn that, they're going to have kind of a hard time. Tricia, can you give your website again and the name of your book and how they can get it?
Okay. Well, it's the book is called Spirit Boy, and my website is www.trishakelly.net. And I have my blog there as well, and you'll find out more information about my new book, the e-book, which I really highly recommend parents, because it's really a great, you know, manual of just every aspect of raising kids and teens and babies with the new age, with the law of attraction principle, if you want to just, you know, focus on that. That's where it's coming from, and it goes into everything. I mean, the way that I describe sexual energy with teenagers will just, you know, have parents' heads spinning, because they put a lot of negative energy around sex with children and teens and things like that, and it's something that you can't control, but you really want them out into the world in a safe space when they're around that vibration than, you know, having them go out there with the dark and the dirty and the everything's bad and evil and I shouldn't be doing this, and there's all that guilt that goes with it, which actually magnifies the experience to be a really not a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a good one. So that book will be out soon. And so it's all at trishakelly.net.
Now, you also have an affiliate program. Would you like to explain to the listeners a little bit about that?
Well, the affiliate program I was setting up for the e-book that's coming out for different websites that like to sell different products that are, you know, like-minded, like links and things like that. So if anybody's interested, there will be a program set up, and it'll probably be through ClickBank as well. But it's all, you know, I'm learning all of this stuff. It's a whole new language to me in the last 6 months, this really throwing myself into this computer world.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But, you know, you see, this is the thing that parents don't realize, too, is that they're always trying to tell their kids about the computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they, because teens are just drawn, and young people are just drawn to this computer. And one of the main reasons is because they have this incredible freedom that they've never had before. If they're heavily controlled children, of being don't do this, don't do that all of their life, they get online and it's like freedom highway. Where can I go? And they get so much joy out of it. It's just exhilarating for them. And so that's another reason you don't want to grow up, you know, have your kids grow up being heavily controlled, because they step out to these extreme freedoms. You know, boom, I'm so free. You know, I can take these drugs now because I'm so free from all of this control. Or I can, you know, dress up and be goth because I'm so free from all of this control, you know, and be my own person. And this is where all of these elements from, you know, they always say the teens, you know, it's such a bad year and they're so hard to raise and they flip out and they do this. It's because they get to the point where they've been so controlled for 13, 14 years of their life in every structure that they're around, that they just want this freedom. And so the more you give them the freedom when they're younger, the more they don't get to this age where they're flipping out,
mm-hmm.
because they've already had this freedom.
Yeah.
You know, it's a controlled freedom in a sense, but it's still a lot of choices of freedom, you know, that a lot of parents don't allow their kids to have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all good, and I love this new generation.
I think they're great. You know?
Yeah.
I really think they're great, and I really think that they're going to get better and better and better. It's just we have to let them get better and better and better, you know, and that's kind of what you're talking about, that controlled thing, like, well, I wasn't allowed to do this when I was a kid, and so you're not going to be allowed to do this, and it just keeps repeating, like you said a little bit earlier about that's in the past. It needs to stay in the past. These are new people. These are new generations. These are new energies, and we have to accept those energies.
Right. Yeah, and these children don't come from, well, none of the children come from those generations. You know, we the same, that collective energy of what we carry from the past is huge, and
mm-hmm.
You have to let it go. I mean, it doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve anybody to be like that. That's why we've been fighting for 2,000 years. We're still fighting the same battles,
mm-hmm.
and nothing has progressed. I mean, it's really, you know, I'm looking forward to the changes, however the planet's going to change, or if we're all going to, you know, rocket off to some new planet, I'll be on the first plane.
Me too.
Like,
me too.
I think we're already on the plane in another way.
Probably.
Yeah, really. We're in a cosmic plane. That's when someone said to me, "Where do you live?" And I said, "In the moment."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Oh, I like that. I'm going to use that line."
Mm-hmm. But it's the best.
Yeah. Where do you live? In the moment. And so I said, "I'm right here, right now. What's up?" Yeah, so that's how you've got to, and that's, I think, a lot of what people have to do, too, is they have to start living more in the moment and really monitor their children's emotional state, because you can see everything that's going on with your kid by their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sense how easy, I mean, you can read children now energetically. Oh, I read energy anyway with people, so I can sort of sense them straight away when they've shifted from one mm-hmm. space to the next. And children, I think, are really like open textbooks of that. And so when parents, if you're out there and you see your kid having those moments, don't push it even more. Just sort of like nurture it back into balance. And they'll open up. You know, it's like nurturing them to open up instead of like pushing them and they close down, which is, I think, what happens to most people.
whether you're a child or an adult. I think that's very true.
Yeah.
Now, also in The Spirit Boy, you talk about staying in the zone. So can you talk just a little bit about what staying in the zone might be?
Well, the zone is, to me, it's like being in a non-judgmental place of, like, just being yourself and, like, yeah, I didn't have to go there. I didn't have to, like, you know, if someone said something negative, I didn't have to go to, like, you know, being negative back to them just to, you know, I'm just staying in my zone because it works for me. You know, it's almost like being in your own bubble, just staying in the zone. And there's, the little story revolves around them getting into writing some rap songs, and it's very colorful in that way with their music. And the other saying that I love is that this is the new way to be cool. You know, being nice is being cool, and because that's when you're in the zone. And then in the zone, you bring all your miracles into play. And anything that you want just starts lining up because you're in that zone of receiving as well.
Tricia, do you think music is really good for kids?
I do. I think music is really valuable. And I think it sort of, kids need to move. You see, it's those outbursts of energy. I mean, if they're in class, if they could all get up in like every, you know, so many minutes and sort of shake it out and dance it out and wiggle their hips and, you know, get that spiral energy moving, it's great. I think some music as vibrational sounds are not that great. And like my daughter and some of her friends, you know, they hear a rappy kind of song on the radio, and I'm saying to her all the time, honey, I can't drive with it. I don't saying that you can't listen to it, but I can't drive. There's too much chaos around me already with the driving to drive and have that going on around me.
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Yes. Hello? That beep meant that we have a caller. So do you have a question?
Yes, I do. My son was labeled severe neurological learning disabilities back in the 70s, I believe. And he would say stuff like, when it was being tested, he said stuff like, they would ask him a question, if you cut your finger, what do you do? And he says, with a hack. Is that the same? Then he was labeled severe ADHD as well. And I never quite understood the concept that they were meaning for his testing. However, he was tested at the time of a divorce. And so I believe that had a lot to do with the situation. Like, if you ask him today, how do you get to somebody's house? He says, follow the neighborhood.
But he is giving you the right answers.
Yeah, and he's a fireman. He does really well. He's extremely brilliant. But, I mean, it's certain things that just get a little bit messed up, and I didn't understand what severe neurological learning disabilities ever meant.
Tricia, are you still there? Tricia?
Do you want to hang up and get her back?
We're going to get Tricia right back, and so if everybody hold on, we're going to have her help answer the question that just came in. So kind of hang in there. But what I was going to say is that for your son, you know, his idea of thinking and, quote, the normal tendency of the way people think in that time was probably very much different. So he is probably very much advanced and ahead of his time, even though he would not test well. A lot of children who do not test well, they don't test well because they don't see a need to be tested.
Well, that's a great feeling that you gave my heart. And it was the 80s, I'm sorry, not the 70s. But that seems to make logical sense to me. But I always was concerned about the neurological disability there, you know. But you can ask her when I get off the air.
All right, we're going to take just a little bit of break, but caller, do me a favor, and if we get disconnected, call back, because I'm going to try to get Tricia back so that she can also give one of her comments. So we're going to go off for just a few moments. We'll be right back, though, so don't go away.
bbsradio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth. bbsradio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer.
Okay, sorry for having this difficulty with the phone lines. I just wanted to tell the caller that, like I said a little bit before, your son just thinks differently, and back then, in that time, they really didn't know how to look at children the way they look at them now. So encourage your son to think the way he does. Encourage him the entire time, and he'll actually be okay. All right?
Well, thank you so much.
And you're very welcome. You have a nice new year.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Now we're going to try to get Tricia back on because I'd really like her to come back on. I really didn't get to tell her thanks for the show, so we're trying to get a hold of her. So in the meantime, we will just kind of go off for a few moments and still try to get a hold of her. So don't go away. We're going to be right back.
bbsradio.com. www.thehumanity.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge.
Okay, everyone, we're back, and we have Tricia back. So, Tricia, are you back?
Hi.
Sorry about all of that. You know, we're, like I said, we're having a little problems with the phone lines, but, you know, there was a lady that called in, Tricia, when you hung up or you got disconnected, and her question that she had, and I'd like you to kind of give an opinion of this if you can. She said that her son was diagnosed, you know, back in the, I think she said it was back in the 70s, with severe neurological learning disability, and that when they tested her son, they asked him, like, strange questions, and even today when he answers questions, he answers them in a very simple way. Like, one of the questions were, how do you get to one of the neighbor's house? He says, follow the town, you know, stuff like that. And I explained to her that, you know, his way of thinking is just a little different than what we're used to. So can you maybe help, you know, just by giving a comment, because I know
he said he follows the what?
He follows the town. In other words, he's a fireman, and if somebody gives him an address, he just goes, you know, through the town to where it's at. So instead of saying, you know, I take this route, this route, this route, he just says, I follow the town. He makes it very simple, but he knows, you know, where he's going.
Right.
And so, you know, my comment to her while we were trying to get you back is that he does think differently. That doesn't make it right or doesn't make it wrong, you know, wrong for him. It's just that he needs to be encouraged. So if in, you know, like talking with somebody, Tricia, if somebody says to you, you know, my child is thinking differently, for example, what might you say to that parent?
You're very lucky.
Right.
Because they're being themselves, and they see the world how they see it, which is great, because they're not seeing it how they're being told how to see it. So,
and really,
it's like learning just to understand his language and his symbols, and, you know, the more you kind of find your peace with that, like her peace with him being that way, and the journey will be easier for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of parents, when they find their kid is a little different, kind of like get into that, like, the parents are the victim. And not the child is just, you know, has its own little special being.
Do you think, Tricia, that one of the biggest mistakes that parents might make or schools might make is truly trying to get every child to fit that bell curve?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, like, I mean, even in any system, like even in when you get into the university systems and things like that, you know, you're finding now that, you know, everybody that comes out of business college has the same way of looking at, you know, how finances should be run, while we're seeing that that doesn't work. So it's, there's no, you know, we're structuring everybody into these little boxes. And really what they need to do at a very young age is sort of recognize what talent those children have. I mean, we still need the basic communication skills, but like this other child, he just is communicating in his skills. So we're not boxing all of these kids in, and, you know, at an earlier age, we're finding what their dreams and their desires are and sort of nurturing those, and because they blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember meeting a little boy that was like 5 or 6. I mean, he was obsessed with dinosaurs. I mean, this kid knew every name and every, like, you know, it's like 10-syllable names that I couldn't even pronounce half of them. And he just was a walking encyclopedia in it. And because it was his love. And you could just see him just blooming in this love. And you sort of knew at that point, well, if he can bloom in that love, during his life he's going to find other loves that he'll just bloom in. And so you kind of like see where the child is going in that area and just sort of nurture that area to make it bloom. And everything else will just fall into balance then because, you know, he's getting so much joy from what's been put in front of him. You know, and a lot of the school system, as we said before, it's not joyful. The brakes are.
No, it's not. But, you know, and I don't know if you got to read on my website, but, you know, I'm trying to open what's called the School of Now, which is a school that's never outdated because it will always grow as the children grow, not because it's set in any particular, you know, box or this has to be done, this is the way it is, you can't. It's not based on that. It's based on every single child as an individual doing their thing, learning the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s, but also learning who they are and what they want to do for themselves as they go through the world.
Right.
You know, and it's a very different concept, and a lot of people don't want to hear it, but I'm not going to stop.
Look, if I could tell people how many different chapters in my life I've been through and, you know, have gone through this and left that chapter and, you know, it's finished and that part of my life, I'm not doing that anymore, and then you move into a different chapter. And a lot of people at a very young age, you're told that, you know, pick your chapter, that's it for the rest of your life. And that's really not a great way for, you know, parents to sort of force their kids into an occupation that, you know, is going to bring them the financial success that they think that they're going to need. That it's not going to come any other way. And so a lot of people, I think, you know, go from that young age of being, you know, forced to learn a certain thing in a certain way into the next thing and the next thing, and, you know, half the world is working in things that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your stress comes from, and stress is, you know, where disease comes from, and it keeps going round and round. But I would love to see children, you know, at a really young age choosing, you know, things that are joyful during the day to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's part of what the School Now is all about. It's really finding out who that child is as an individual.
Right.
And letting that child be that individual and letting them, you know, go to what they like to do because they're going to succeed at that. And then they can always move on to something else like you're talking about, Tricia. You know, and again, that's really what I'm trying to put together. So all of the stuff that you're talking about and even in your book, Spirit Boy, is kind of what my whole concept is about.
I would love to, you know, during in the future is to get like-minded education people like yourself and my friend Peter Tung who's into this as well and so many people now, you know, that are like-minded people just to actually be able to present something to the education system to sort of like lighten up basically in the system and make it, you know, easier And teachers are under an awful lot of pressure, too, to bring in the grades and bring in the scores, and they don't realize that their pressure comes out in ways that children and other children that are highly sensitive in the classes are just picking up vibrations from, you know, screaming teachers and parents and everything that's in there. It gets back to that collective group again. You know, you sit in a classroom of 30 people, you're affected by the whole 30 people. So if one is being badly treated, everybody is sensitive to that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're affected by it and sort of, you know, it goes on from there. But it gets back to that guidance system of, like, bringing up your child to, you know, have that inner guidance system that they can sense it and they can protect themselves and not pick it up, you know, or not aggravate it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's also allowing them to trust themselves in order to use their guiding systems. And again, I'm not sure a lot of parents are doing that today.
Well, they're not. You know, that's why their parents constantly are correcting children. You know, like they'll tell them to go and tidy up their room and then go in 10 minutes later and re-straighten it up how they want it. And, you know, if you wanted it that way, you should have done it yourself and not even ask them. See, that's the thing, is that, you know, you can't keep correcting what they do when they do it with so much joy. You know, they come out and say, hey, I did it. And, you know, they're excited about what they did, and you walk in there and rearrange it.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a story about what happened to me. My mother is a neat freak.
Right.
okay? And she got really, really sick. My mom has this, it's some form of a convulsion where for like 30 days she just lays and, you know, she doesn't do a lot because she can't. She gets real dizzy. So I was going to be really nice, and I was in high school, and I cleaned up her whole house. I mean, everything, the stove, everything. And then after my mom was okay, she went back over and she re-cleaned everything that I had cleaned. And I saw her, and I went up to her and I said, Mom, understand this right now. I said, I've already cleaned this house, but it wasn't good enough for you, so really, don't expect me to clean it up for you ever again. You know, I'll make my mess, I will clean it, but I will not clean it like I tried to clean it for you. And I never have.
And that's what, you see, that's what children go through.
Right.
That's an example of, like, when you get a kid to go back and redo the bedroom the next week, they're like, what's the point? You know, she's only going to come in and redo it.
Mm-hmm. And so I never did. And I'm 60 years old right now. And this was when I was probably 16. So, you know, we're talking about a long time. But I stuck by my word because, you know, that's kind of who I am. And I wanted my mother to understand that through my trying to help her, she kind of destroyed my wanting to help her. You know, and to me, that was real important for my mother to understand that I was doing it because I wanted to help her, and yet she turned right around and made it feel like I didn't do a good enough job.
Wow, and can you imagine how many people go through that in a day?
I'm sure they go through a ton of it, you know, just a ton of it.
Right.
You know, and that's very, very unfortunate. You know, so do me a favor, Tricia, give out your website again, your name of your book again, and then we're probably going to have to go off air.
Okay. It's, well, it's Spirit Boy and Earth Spy, but, you know, it just comes up as Spirit Boy, too. And it's at TrishaKelly.net. It's very easy, and there's a lot of information there. It's growing all the time on the website, and I want to kind of branch into doing a lot more lecturing in schools and things, and hopefully with other like-minded people we can sort of start making a change so that, you know, when people go into schools and start talking about kids and what they're doing, and, you know, it's what I'm saying to my daughter is, you know, idle gossip doesn't hurt the person that you're gossiping about ever, unless they believe it. It actually diminishes you by gossiping. That's all you're doing, is diminishing your own energy. And so, you know, these little light bulb moments that children don't know, they just don't know, because there's nobody out there teaching them anything about vibrational energy, or what I call the language of energy, in the school system. And I think if it was introduced like that, they would understand what they were doing a lot more, and there'd be a calmer place and a more joyful place. And teachers would learn, too, that their energy just is pretty sour sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you, Tricia. Tricia, but your name is spelled T-R-I-C-I-A.
Right.
So that people can find it the right way, because they may look it up with the H in there, and they won't find it.
And then it's K-E-L-L-Y.
Right. So, Tricia, it's been a great pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoyed the conversation. It's always uplifting to be around, you know, people that just want to motivate people. And, you know, I get excited about that, too. So it was likewise.
And, again, her book is called Spirit Boy, and really everybody get it. It's a very good book, especially if you have, you know, teenagers or even smaller children right now. It's a very, very good book. So
And wait till it comes out as a film.
I can't wait.
That will be the icing on the cake. So any producers out there?
That's right. Any producers out there, listen. It's actually very good. But, Tricia, again, it's been very nice having you on this show. I thank you very much for taking the time, and I really apologize for the mess up with the phone.
Fine. That's all part of the communication. Not everything goes smooth, but it always comes back again.
That's right. So, again, thank you very much, and I hope your new year is great, and we're going to be doing some more talking, Tricia, so you take care, okay?
Oh, you too. All right. And we'll talk to you very soon. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you. You're welcome. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Remember, do not party so hard that you're going to go out and drive and get all messed up with New Year's Eve. That's not the thing to do, but have a great time, and I wish you the best of luck for 2009. May God bless all of you. Take care, and good night now.